In a few moments, I'm going to ask you to look up Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. But before we read that, I just want to reflect on a couple of verses. Pastor John has been preaching on a series from the life of David. And there's a verse in Acts 13, 22, and it's been interesting as Pastor John has shared with us. David certainly was a man who had his ups and downs. He had tremendous victories, but at the same time, he had some tremendous defeats personally and at times when he wasn't trusting God. But if you, in Acts 13, 22, there is a nugget of a verse in there, and it says this, "And when he had removed him," referring to Saul, "he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will." And that's an interesting statement, and this morning we want to take some time and look at that. But I would like to ask the question, would God say that of me? I find it interesting, this verse is in Acts. I mean, by this point, God knows all that David had done, his failings and everything else. And God still, in this verse in Acts, refers to David as a man after his own heart, who is willing to do all that God had asked. And I guess that really is probably the focus of my message this morning. For us as individuals and as a church family, would we be willing to do all that God has asked? Isaiah 55:8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." And you know, it's interesting, if we could just grasp the mind of God and the things that God would be wanting us to do. I find as I look back in my life, how many times in my life was I more concerned about what I wanted to do than what God wanted to do? And his ways are not my ways. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that if as a church family we would surrender ourselves to the ways of God, we would make choices that God is saying, I want you to do this, and you could say, well, you know, I had some other plans, but I'll give them up. And so this morning, as we take some time to look at these things, I want to ask you a few questions. Are we willing to do God's will, God's way? You know, I think that is really an interesting statement. David had to surrender his will in order to do God's will. And could that be said of us? And how do we know what God's will is? That's a big question. What is God's way? How would I even get on that path? How do we get there from here? I actually believe that the answer to that question is to be called. Now, I don't know how many of you believe that you are called. I've run into some people in my life and even during my years of ministry. And I remember running into a children's pastor from up in Edmonton. And I asked him, how long have you been doing this? He says, for 40 years. I says, what in the world? He says, I'd do it if I wasn't paid. I says, what? What? Why? He says, because I'm called. I am called. And I think, wouldn't it be amazing if each one of us in our church family did things that God is asking us to do and that we believed that we were called for that specific purpose and task? I guess the question then is, what do you believe God is calling you to do? And that's the question for today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you again for our church family. Lord, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, you want to turn this city upside down through a group of people that even are here this morning. And Lord, I pray that we would be known as a church where your presence is felt. You can't come in those doors without sensing that God is here. And Lord, I pray that we would be servants of yours, willing to do whatever you ask. And that above all else, our lives and the ministries of this church would bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you been called? I want to share with you a story about Duncan Campbell. He was a man that was involved in what was called the Hebrides Revival. This story didn't actually start when Duncan Campbell showed up to preach at a Keswick convention, but it actually started much earlier. It actually started in his study. He was part of the faith mission movement in England. He actually became one of the most renowned preachers in England and would often travel around the world. Year after year, he was often found speaking at the Keswick Convention, which was like conventions for pastors and ministry leaders, and people from all over the world would go to the Keswick Conventions. But one day in his study, his 15-year-old daughter came into his study and asked him a question. She said, "Dad, why doesn't God use you like he used to?" He told an English friend of his later that it knocked the wind out of his sails because he had thought he was at his peak. He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Dad, you've told me the stories of what used to happen when you worked in the faith mission movement. Why doesn't God do that with you anymore?" When she left the room, he says, "I fell on my face and wept and said, 'God, she's right.'" He said, "God, if you will give me back what I had, I will do whatever you tell me to do." 3 weeks later, he was on the platform at the Keswick Convention conference, and he was actually going to be the next speaker up. Then God spoke to him and said, "Get up and go to the Hebrides Islands, to the Isle of Lewis." He says, "But I'm supposed to be the next one to speak." "As clearly as I've heard anything said, Duncan, on the floor of your study, you promised me that you would do whatever I ask you, and if you would give back what you had, if you'll go, I will give it." Duncan Campbell left the platform, and immediately, "I'm sorry for something has come up, I've got to go." Within 3 days, he was at the Isle of Lewis. He stepped off the ferry boat and asked for the pastor. The man said, "There's no pastor. There are only 3 churches here. 2 of them are closed, and 1 has some elderly ladies meeting in it with the postman. But if you're looking for a religious man, the postman is the one you're looking for." Duncan found the postman's house. He knocked on the door, and the postman responded, "Oh, Mr. Campbell, you're right on time. The ladies and I have been praying, and God told us you were coming. 6 weeks ago, I printed the posters and announced that the meetings would begin tonight." God used Duncan Campbell in a way he could have never imagined through the Hebrides Revival. This morning, I believe God has a job for each one of you. I don't care whether you're 8, 18, or 88. I believe that God has a job for you to do. Your task might not be the same as an 8-year-old's, and your task might not be the same as a 90-year-old, but God has a job for you to do. If you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, I'd like to stand while we read this. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on the mountain. You may be seated. This morning, you could be doing the will of God. It doesn't matter whether you're a mechanic or a missionary. It doesn't matter whether you're a plumber or a pastor. I often ask the question, because I used to bake for 20 years, are you a baker that happens to be a Christian, or are you a Christian that happens to bake? And you would say, well, what is the difference? I'm telling you, I was just over there in the Golden Mile, and it doesn't look anything like it used to. But I'm telling you, when I worked today, I was looking for opportunities to share my faith. I just happened to be baking bread. And this morning, you could put in there whatever you do. I'm a teacher that happens to be a Christian, or are you a Christian that happens to be a teacher? And the difference is what is your focus? If I was a baker that happened to be a Christian, the chances are very, very limited that most people would even know that I was a Christian. They would know I was a baker. But if I was a Christian who just happened to bake, there would hardly be anybody that wouldn't know that I was a child of God. You know, you could ask the question, do you believe God took the children of Israel to Egypt? And the story of how he did that was amazing. He used a boy named Joseph, if you remember. But many years later, long after Joseph had died, the story is just as amazing, how God took him out of Egypt. And I want to encourage you that God will use you wherever you are for his honor and glory, and he will mold your story and your circumstances for his honor, for his glory, to accomplish his purposes. I don't know if any of you have been called. I remember we grew up on a farm out in Dauphin, Manitoba, and we lived about half a mile from my cousin's place, and we would often go back and forth between farms. But my mom had an uncanny ability to be able to call me from the front step of our farmhouse, and I could be over there in the barn at my cousin's place, and I would hear my mom call, yoo-hoo. And I didn't know what was up. I just knew I better get home. She didn't have to tell me what was up. And you know, I guess I would want to ask you, principle number one is, are you listening for him? Are you anticipating his voice? I don't know if many of us, as we go day to day, we've even got God in our mind, if we're even thinking, you know what, I wonder if God's going to call me today. Because he has a job for you to do. In Exodus 3 and 4, it says, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. But this is interesting. In verse 4, it says, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him. How many times is God trying to get our attention and we don't even turn to look? And we wonder why God is not using us. He goes on to say, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." I told you I was a baker. We'd actually got involved in club ministry in this church building. It was down in the basement. I was asked if I would help out. As I got involved in club ministry, it kind of is where Club DJ came out of, and I knew I had to choose between the bakery and children's ministry. And you know, I want to tell you that there are going to be some times when you're going to need to choose what you're going to do. Are you going to obey God's call, or are you going to keep baking bread? It was a Saturday morning. I was working in the back. Sharon was there at the front with some of the kids, and can't remember if it was Shay or Tyler. They were just younger. And a man came into the bakery, and he said he wanted to talk to me. I came out, and never seen this guy before. I was standing behind the donut counter. And he said, God sent me here to talk to you. Well, I come from an Alliance church, and that seems a little weird. And I didn't respond to him. And then he said, God's told me that you're going to go into ministry. And he said, that ministry is going to reach a multitude of people. And now I'm panicking because I don't know who this guy is, but somehow he's got some insider information. What else does he know? And so I panic. I says, well, we're trying to sell the bakery. We want to go into ministry. And he interrupted me and he says, you don't have to do anything. God's going to do it all. And he left. Never seen him before. Haven't seen him since. I remember asking three pastor friends of mine. I told them the story. I says, what in the world was this? They said, I don't know what to tell you. Just think about what he said. And I came to realize, at first I thought he was telling me that God was going to sell the bakery, but he wasn't talking about the bakery at all. He was talking about the people that would come to Christ. It wasn't going to be what I was doing, but it was going to be what God was doing. And you know, that's the amazing thing. When we start to obey God's call, all of a sudden God does things in and through us because we're just empty vessels for His honor and glory, and He does things that we couldn't even imagine. Are you listening for Him? Secondly, principle number two, obedience requires action. We find in verse 4, what's Moses' response to this voice from the burning bush? Moses said, here I am. I'm here. You got my attention. And this morning, I want to ask you, does God have your attention? It is amazing to me that God's call on our life is as simple as one little step. What if Moses was distracted by something else caught his eye instead of the burning bush? But the burning bush caught his eye and Moses took a step. And then when God knew that he had Moses' attention, then he could tell Moses what he wanted to do. Does God have your attention? And if He does, if He has called out to you, have you taken that step? You know, it's so interesting with God. God never unpacks the whole thing. I think if God unpacked it, everything that He wanted us to do, it would probably scare most of us off. But what He does is He just says, would you be willing to take this one step? And this morning, I don't know what God is asking you to do, but I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has a job for you to do, and I don't know what it is, but He'll tell you. Principle number three, if God has called you, He will guide you. Have you ever wondered, you know, Abraham, you know, was told to pack up his things and I'm going to take you to a place I'll show you. If I went home and told Sharon, you know what, I believe God is wanting us to move, and she'd say, to where? And I'd say, well, I have no idea. He just told me I better get a U-Haul and we're going. Pretty radical. But Abraham went. And God will guide us. In verse 12 of chapter 3, it says, "So he said, I will certainly be with you. This will be a sign to you that I have sent you." And he actually tells him how he will bring him back to the very same mountain where that burning bush was. "You're going to know it was me, Moses, because I'm going to bring you right back here. But I'm going to bring you with my people." And it is amazing to me how God does that. He will guide us if we look for him. The Israelites followed a cloud or a pillar of fire by night. They couldn't see where they were going. I remember one time my wife and I were driving in the mountains, and she's like, "You know, you can't see anything. You don't, how do you know what's coming?" And I'm like, and it was dark out, and I says, "Well, I have to trust the guy who painted the lines." Now, he could have set us up real bad and put a bunch of dotted lines where there should have been a solid one. But I had to trust the guy who painted the lines. And this morning, we have to trust God, because God is the one that's sovereign and knows where he's leading us and guiding us, and we need to trust him. He will guide us. Adrian Rogers makes a statement. He says, "How to arrive at our destination without a map." You know, I feel, I was interviewed up in Edmonton here at Missions Fest about last February, and I just saw the video this week, and you know, it's interesting because that principle, how God will guide us without a map, is absolutely amazing. I have people say, "How long are you going to do this?" Oh, I have no idea. God could literally, could God change your direction? Would you be willing to change your direction if God came along and asked you that he wants you to go in a different direction? Would you change it? Principle number 4. When God calls us, he goes with us. In verse 12 again, it says, "I will certainly be with you." You know, there's nothing, I have shared with different people, there is nothing that I hunger after more than the peace of God when it comes to decision time. And I can't even explain it. I remember I was in the process of buying the Golden Mile Bakery. I was working out in Moose Jaw for Safeway, and I heard about this opportunity. I came in, I took 2 weeks holidays, I worked in the bakery, I was had the deal all arranged. The guy that owned it before me paid $110,000 plus inventory. It was $118,000 is what he paid. I called him, he said, "I'm selling the bakery for $70,000 plus inventory," so it was $78,000. I thought, that's a pretty good deal, especially after what you paid for it. But on the phone, he dropped his price from $70,000 down to $35,000 plus inventory. He's now at $43,000. And I thought, I got to check this out. I spent 2 weeks at that bakery. The papers were all ready to go. It was Friday of the second week, and I phoned up John. I says, "I can't explain this to you, John, but," I says, "I have lost my peace." I says, "I am a Christian. And it doesn't make sense to me, even for me to make this call, because this is an amazing deal. Matter of fact, this deal was so good, I didn't even tell any of my baker friends because I figured they'd sneak in underneath me and grab that bakery before I finished my deal." Sharon and I had a couple days left of our two-week holiday. I said, "Let's go up to Saskatoon." On the way up to Saskatoon, I said to Sharon, I says, "What if God had this bakery for us and I got cold feet? Maybe I misread this." I said, "If God wants us to have this bakery, he is going to have to make it abundantly clear to us. And I will make one more phone call when I go back." When I got back to the city, I phoned the John back. I said, "John," I says, "I just a few more questions about this bakery." He says, "I don't own the bakery anymore." I'm like, "What? You just owned it a few days ago." "But yeah, I don't own it anymore." He says, "The mall owns it." I says, "Well, what?" Phone the mall. I phoned the mall. Talked to the mall manager. He says, "Well," he says, "he owed us $8,500 in back rent. And so we closed the doors, so we have the keys to the bakery." I says, "Well, so how much does it cost for the bakery now?" He says, "Well, if you'd give us $8,500, we'll give you the keys." He says, "We just got to talk to the bank." the bank, he owed them $70,000. They talked to the bank. The mall says, we'll give you half of the $8,500. And the bank's like, who made up this price? Either you take the $4,250 or you don't get nothing. And I bought the Golden Mile Bakery for $8,500. I never doubted that God took us there. And God took us there to learn some lessons. When God calls us, he will go with us. Principle 5, God always will accomplish his task. The question is, will you be a part of it? He's going to get the job done. And I actually wonder how many Christians have missed out on an opportunity to be a part of what God's doing because they didn't say yes to God. And so God says, okay, I'm going to find somebody else then. That statement kind of comes out at us in the story of Esther in Esther chapter 4:14. Mordecai says to Esther, Esther, I believe God has brought you for such a time as this, but if you won't do it, he'll find another. And I wonder how many times as God's children we miss out on an opportunity to be a part of what God's doing because we said no to God and he said, okay, I'll find another. He will accomplish his purposes. I remember it was years ago, Club DJ had been growing. I was over at Mom and Dad's one day, and Mom said to me, she says, how are we going to keep up to the financial obligations of Club DJ? Things are growing so rapidly, I don't know how we're going to keep up. I says, I don't know. I says, but I believe that if we're doing what God wants us to do, then God will provide for what he is doing, and it might be the bizarrest thing we've ever heard. I went home that night, just after supper, I got a phone call from a lady. She says, you don't know me, she says, but I am on the board of Pioneer Clubs of Canada. And she says, we are in the process of shutting down, and each board member is going to be coming back to our next board meeting with a recommendation of who we would like to see the funds of Pioneer Clubs of Canada go to what ministry. I said to her, wow. I says, this is awesome. I says, I don't know whether anything will come of this, but your phone call is evidence to me out of a conversation which I shared with her, what a conversation with my mom. I says, God's going to provide for Club DJ. If he doesn't do this way, he'll do another way. She phoned me back a few weeks later, and she said, I just want to tell you, we've made a decision, and Club DJ will be receiving $60,000. We want these funds not to go to staff and salary and general fund costs, but we want this money to be used to have a lasting impact in the lives of boys and girls. And so we invested in Bible quizzing equipment. Because the Word of God stands forever. Principle number 6. Being called, God gives evidence. In Exodus 4:1-5. It's interesting, if you flip over, it says, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what's that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. And it says, then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out to his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. You know what I found in my life is God has done different things that there is no explanation except that God did it. Some of these stories I have shared with you this morning, and the reason I share these stories and I repeat these stories is because we serve an awesome God, and if we will just do what he asks, he is faithful and just to do everything that he says he will do. And there's no explanation for it, except that God did it. God's call on our life will end with one amazing story. I don't know if you believe that. But if you look through the heroes of faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews, and you look back on these people's life, I don't care whose life you pick, David or Daniel or Joseph or Esther, and they look back at seeing the hand of God in their life. Wouldn't it be something if you could look back on your life and say, I want to look back. I am absolutely amazed how God got me here. But it was just saying yes to Him one step at a time. Principle number 7, the last principle. Being called, it brings contentment. People often ask me, so do you still bake bread? I haven't baked a loaf of bread since I closed those doors. My whole life I baked bread. Over 20 years I baked bread. And it's a crazy thing. I never wake up in the morning and think, oh, if I could just bake another loaf of bread. It's crazy. I have no desire. It is so exciting being a part of what God is doing. Why would I want to bake bread? And we hang on to things that if we would just let go, would you be willing to let go of that bakery? Would you? I don't know what you're hanging on to this morning, but I'm telling you, I have never had more contentment doing what God wants me to do. It is an amazing place to be. But I will tell you this, being called can bring contentment, but it requires commitment. And my challenge to you again this morning is to just say yes. I've shared with you a few stories this morning. When I was in Bible school, the question was asked, what is God's will for your life? I was in a student body at Bible school. There was probably 500 or 600 freshmen. And I don't think there was one of us that had a clue what God's will was for our life. But I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back and tell them, I think I found it. To find God's will for your life just means saying yes to Him one step at a time. When Randy Aspinall asked me, would you, instead of dropping Shay and Tyler off to clubs, would you come to a meeting on a Wednesday night? You don't have to get involved. You can leave if you want to. But I said yes. A year later, the children's pastor said, would you run clubs for the boys? And I said, yes again. Would you close your bakery? And I said, yes. Would you be willing to be the director of CF Saskatchewan? And I said, yes. How about Alberta? I said, yes again. Would you be willing to lead the ministry of UB David and Abby Jonathan? I said, yes again. And it is an amazing thing, because as I look back on my life, it's just as that man said. It's not going to be what you're doing. It's going to be what God is doing. Things like the Haydn Bible, our second 5,000 Bibles, are on a ship on the way over from China. I would have never dreamed about that happening. Taking Club DJ to Cuba, we're just finishing off. Those kits are going to go out in the next week to Cuba to reach boys and girls for Cuba through Club DJ. Who would have dreamed? How do you get a baker out of the Golden Mile and get him to Cuba? How do you get you at whatever God has you now? How does He get you from where you are to down the road? And I'm telling you, it's one step at a time, saying yes to God, and you will look back as I look back at my life and I'm like, I don't know how I got here. But literally, God just took one step at a time, saying yes to God. And you look back. I haven't always said yes to God. But I wish I'd said yes a lot more. I remember when Luke was a young boy, he asked me one time. I used to tell my kids that God had a job for them to do. Luke, he was just a little guy. He says, well, what's my job? I says, I don't know. But God's going to tell you someday. He's going to tell you. The purpose of God's call in our lives, the bottom line, is to bring Him glory. To bring Him glory. You know, it's a crazy thing as humans, sometimes we want to take God's glory. When I close, I want to share one more little story. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the show America's Greatest Inventor. Being in the business world, I was kind of intrigued by it. And I remember sitting there with some of my kids, and I'm watching this show, and I was kind of excited about it. And the winner got $1 million to do whatever his big idea was. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, I think I could win this thing. And I'm thinking about it some more, and after a while, I'm actually saying it out loud. You know what? I think I can win this. Hey, kids, I think I could win this whole thing. And the kids are like, what do you, really, Dad, what do you got? I says, Club DJ. I says, I think Club DJ could change the world. It's greater than any stroller or anything else that these guys are trying to market. I went to bed that night. I thought, you fool. You are such a fool. Club DJ has always been about what God is doing. And you know our human nature, when God starts doing things, all of a sudden we think, you know what? Can you imagine if Moses all of a sudden said, well, I led these people out of there. Moses knew full well who led those people out of there. And I'm telling you, I know full well who's responsible for what God is doing through Club DJ, and it's not me. That next morning, I got up, and the kids were at the breakfast table. My office was just off the kitchen, and the kids were talking amongst each other, and they said, hey, Dad thinks he can win America's Greatest Inventor. I'm like, oh, boy. Now they're spreading the word. Who have they told? And I went out. I says, kids, I says, I'm sorry. I says, I asked God to forgive me. I gave it back to Him. I had it in my hand for a few minutes, but I gave it back. I want you to forgive me. You know Club DJ has always been about what God's doing. It's not about what we're doing. And this morning, I encourage you. What God calls us to do is only to bring Him honor and glory. Whatever it is. Whatever job God has for you to do. My challenge to you this morning is to just say yes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for our church family. And Lord, there could be people here this morning that haven't even made a decision to surrender their life to You and receive forgiveness for their sins as we celebrated around this communion table. And the number one, the first yes we need to do is to say yes to Jesus. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be part of Your family. And if there is anybody here this morning that has not given your life to Christ, I pray that you would come this morning and that you would make that decision to say yes for the very first time. And some of you this morning, wherever, what journey God has you on, wherever you are, I pray that you would start saying yes to God. God could turn this city upside down if we as a church family would just say yes to Him one step at a time. We pray these things and give all the honor and glory to You. In Jesus' name we pray.